So, why don't we just go around the room? I'm Michael White. Some of you have been to my session that just ran. But I produce Baroque and Beyond for KPVL and KHOI, two stations in Iowa, and occasionally for WDRT. And I'm just an amateur DJ that kind of backed into doing this, and I do classical music. I used to do a folk music and a rock and roll and a couple of other things when I was a DJ in college a long time ago.
So it's to me. My name is Mike Murphy. I'm from KKFI in Kansas City. And I wear many hats there, but the hat I'm wearing, this is I produce slash host a music program on Wednesday morning called the Wednesday Morning Buzz. And it's a pretty free-form thing, but I try to pay special attention to the local music scene. Sometimes I come up with themes, like on the anniversary of Hiroshima. There's actually a lot of songs about that kind of thing.
Dawn Newman from Fayetteville, Arkansas. We're newbies, just got our radio station, and we're just all here gathering information, and it's been excellent so far.
Sophia Ely from WNUC LP FM 96.7 Detroit. Here, we just got our license in May. We're newbies, so I'm here with three other people. We're getting all the information that we need. I've enjoyed the conference, the workshops, and I'm just raring to go.
That's cool.
I'm Matt Hurley from KHOI, here in Ames. I started at the Iowa State University station KURE 88.5, where I had my own show space for Brains for about 4 years. After graduating, I moved over here to KHOI. I've been here for about 2 years now. As audio production for other people's shows, including a film soundtrack show they air on Fridays. For a while, I did this woman Elizabeth's show, where she plays old-timey music. I've done production for opera programming on Sundays and classical music throughout the week.
Bob Parker with WRDE-LP in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm program director for half the airtime on this OPAR station, and we don't currently have any DJs. Our music is just randomly selected by the computer from different bins, so the different types of music at different times.
Okay, we don't be so random here. Go here and download the patch.
I'm Peter Boshan from All Mixed Up, and I upload everything to AudioPort, and I'm from WBAI, one of the five original Pacifica stations. I'm also a producer of music and sound, and I came here, Ursula talked me into it, she didn't really have to twist my arm, but she just asked for some days to share, my experience, and I think it has been a great experience for me. And I'm, one of the most exciting things I'm hearing is Dawn and different people I've run into. Some of them look like they just got their licenses, and they've got now permits to open LPFMs, and that's the future. And the only growing part of the radio spectrum is local programmed and low-powered radio stations. It's serious. Every network and all these big conglomerates who own the FM band, they're just either flatlining or they're declining or selling off their stations. Of course, I'm not going to mention the religious stations because I don't know who funds them or who listens to them, but they buy up all the failed college frequencies, and luckily that's not been happening so much, but it's just great. I really, I've enjoyed being in radio most of my life. I do get other work. I've worked in, I'm sure we all have to supplement our public community radio work with other means, but for me it's been quite a great trip. I'm open for any questions and ask some stuff. I opened up by saying I'm on AudioPort because when I do my show in BAI, and in better times when we had our own studios and we had guests able to come in, I would always get a lot of great talent. People on the way up, some more famous people, but they'd come in the studio and we'd, with a room not much bigger than the one they built here, get 8 or 9 pieces into the studio with multitude of instruments, and sometimes 3 mics, sometimes 2 mics, and then would record their latest songs and broadcast them. And at the end, I'd say, I hear a melody or something that would work as an ID, and I'd hum it to them. I'd say, let's try this. And we'd be doing this live on the air, and I got at least 150 to 200 from Flaming Lips to PJ Harvey to just everybody over the last 20 years doing this. And I feel it's bugging me that I can't play them on audio board too much. What I do is I play them at the top of the BAI show and the end, and then I cut them out so that. And I also cut out all the references. Michael was alluding to this. If he gets more than a couple of stations, he's not going to individually tailor them to all the different stations on audio board, because it takes me about a day to prepare for the show. And then after I walk off the air, I take the air checks just for my talking and the live portions of the show to edit it down and edit all the BAI local material out of there. And I used to do it from Bridgeport, saying... I was general manager, and I would pre-do most of the show, and then I'd run in to do the back announce, but I had to cut it and send it to BAI. That's how I got back on audio board regularly every week. So I'd say whatever the songs were, and this is all mixed up. Peter Boshan over WPKN. I'd do that space, which I had never done, but you've got to slow your stuff. And then I'd go home, take something from BAI, Peter Boshan, WBAI, and then leave it now. Just so Peter Boshan, glad you tuned in. And then I'll say WBAI, so I cut that all out. So that's how you do it, Michael. And but what I've done is I've started to gather IDs from all the other stations that carry me, by listening to them if they're streaming, and cut together something. And I think I play it when I'm talking. I don't know if you want me to do this, or I'm just jumping in, because I'm tired and I want to do something.
I hit chess. I have a question when you're done. I want to ask you a question about something you said.
You can ask me right now.
So why do you... Are there some you can't play on audio port?
Well, it's just I do it once in a while. But in the beginning, how it happened was, I was doing this edit for BAI. I was working as general manager, but I still had a Saturday afternoon spot, popular spot, on the station. So I would do my... I booked myself some time at PKN, which I had done in New York before that, because I was also operations over there. Mm-hmm. So I was buying some time to do my broadcast. Never there live, but I would do the show live, then cut out those things. So I noticed, after I've been doing this about a year, I did this about 3 years there, I look at AudioPort when I'm seeing to make sure they got it, and here's all these stations just playing it. And then some of them started contacting me. Can you give me one that's not so BAI heavy? Because I would leave all these things in, because I'm on BAI.
Okay, so you're just cutting out BAI-specific content. It wasn't that you weren't allowed to say
no,
something.
No, there was nobody allowed. But even Ursula might even said something to me. I mean, it's just like when you do, you know, especially when I was at PKN and I'm doing a breakaway, I was just run into the room, because I'm doing GME things. Then I run in, do the back announce, and then I go to something else, and I would play a PKN thing, maybe.
So did you just select putting your stuff generally available on audio port, as opposed to available only in your workroom that you allow specifically?
Yeah, no, I saw that option, but I figured I put it there. I had done just a spotty of things. I used audio port more for shortcuts for a year in review I do, and I did that and a couple other things. But starting in 2009, every single show I ever had is there. You know, and then
and people just started playing it.
They started playing it. First,
you didn't advertise.
No, I didn't advertise at all.
So anybody that has AudioPort can do that. Can just make it generally accessible.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, if with the uneasy nature of what's going on in Pacifica, some of the people involved in AudioPort are backing it up personally, so that it'll continue. If if they can't pay for it, and if they can't pay for the servers. Which is where the money comes in. Mm-hmm.
Does anyone not know what audio part is?
Yeah, does anybody?
Let me know a little more about it.
Okay.
Audio part is a service set up by Pacifica, really by Ursula and Otis, as I understand it. They were the driving forces.
Right.
And it's a website for people to put up their programs. That could be syndicated, or just for private distribution within your station. You can really anyone can create an account there. You can it's set up for archiving of shows. You upload MP3 files of 128K or better. Yeah, the uploader enforces that, which is a very good thing. So you don't have bad audio quality.
Do you know what he means by 128K or better?
Michael just came up about an hour ago.
So in MP3 files, when I did export, I'm doing Audacity, I said that there were various numbers you could use, and I went to 320. The thing is bits per second. So you have a variety of numbers you can select. The more bits per second you sample, the higher quality you're getting of the sample of sound.
Okay.
So AudioPort enforces you must have a minimum of 128 bits per second to quality of sound. So that's really a quality of a sound measurement.
Okay.
And higher is better, but higher is bigger sound file too.
Okay.
They also have 150 megabyte maximum file size,
which comes into play when you try to do what Michael does.
Yeah, so when you do a whole hour show, when I do a 59-minute show at 320 kilobits per second sampling, it is often 148 megabytes.
Just makes
okay.
it.
Just barely makes it.
And let me tell you another factor. Doing it from afar, I pick 192, and it's for the very same reason. It's a time element, what my upload possibilities are. Now, I just took a trip to the West Coast, and I took with me, I knew I didn't have time to do a new show when I was out there on my laptop, and I decided not to bring my laptop. I brought a flash drive. So I had a shortcut that was 59 minutes long, and it was at 192. I went to a coffee bar. I tried to do it from this artist who had, he said, well, you got to point Reyes, this is gonna, I have real slow service up here. And he started it, and about 20 minutes we looked back, and it was like, there's a telltale sign on AudioPort. When you start to load, it asks you a couple of legal questions if you have any dirty words in there or if you have pitching in there, which has been added, but it's important because that's even worse for other stations to have somebody's telephone number.
So specifically, some of that, I'd say it's mostly talk programs on AudioPort.
Yeah.
And some stations,
they put in an ad for themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And then if it's the version that's going out to other stations, then it's you have someone else's fun drive playing on your station.
Yeah, that's
so.
Not good. And so it's like it's a good thing warning. But anyway, this thing, that's the first little thing that pops up. Then a little white rectangle shows, and it's blank for a few microseconds, and then a percentage will come up, and it'll say some crazy number of hours it's going to take. Then it quickly reduces to reality, and usually it's about, you know, for my program at that bit rate, about 30 minutes at the worst. Sometimes it's only 10 minutes. Depends how fast your connection is. So when I went out to so it didn't work at this guy's house. And so then our next stop on our trip is Mendocino, which I figured, well, they've got a great internet. They don't. I go there, it's 25, is what the up. You know, it's like in a coffee bar where I actually had to buy a cup of coffee and get $2 to use their computers, because if I brought in my own computer like I usually do, but all I had was a flash drive. So I went in and I did there. I sat there for 1 hour for the first hour. I had another hour, but I didn't have time. So I wrote a little note to the stations if they read it. Go back 1 year ago or September to the beginning of the Syrian conflict, to put it in David's terms this morning, and do that, because I started typing in one of my friends. I was sitting there waiting for an hour, so somebody had just died, and I was talking to him about that, and I said, hey, if I send you a file and you send it, can you then go to AudioPort, and I'll tell you, here's my password, here's how to do it. So he said, yeah, sure, whatever. So I started doing that thing, and you said it was just as slow. I said, I'm not sitting here for
another.
You're
limited by the pipe from
there. Right, the pipe, and the pipe was like this. And later that night, I said, well, I'll do it from someplace else. Somebody hit a pole that had all the internet stuff. That was it for the valley. That was it till. So I said, that's 1 hour and that's done.
I live in heaven. I bought a house that was under construction. It was under construction. We have fiber optic to the house.
Mm. Oh, well, great.
And so, yeah, I mean,
you can do FLAC almost in your house.
I can upload a FLAC file in under 5 minutes.
Oh, well, wow.
Where do you live? Can I drive there from
across Wisconsin, the long ass drive?
Oh, that's a long ass drive.
It's 4 hours from here.
Okay, all right.
So
then that's not a solution.
Three and a half.
So yeah,
So audio port.
Audio port is, you could use Dropbox or whatever else for transfer of big files, but audio port is specifically designed for radio shows, and it allows you to distribute it to other stations, put in all the information about the show, show notes, recording date, whether it's part of a series, all sorts of little things like that.
Right, and then even though you're not picked up by a station, they can't see you, and those little notes you put into the description trigger. I'll have stations that just drop in because I put in children's programming, or I have a political thing, and they'll just all of a sudden I'll see a strange thing. So that's it's better than the USENet or any of the common sites, because they're not connected directly to anything except themselves and to the recipient of your email. But this here is you're connected to every station that's on Pacifica, and how many are there?
I thought she said over 70.
Affiliate? Yeah, affiliates.
About between 150, 200, wow. 200.
So,
yeah.
Ursula and I have been having this conversation for a year now, because at one point she said, I'd really like to see you put this on the whole network.
Right.
But I got to get the lawyer's permission. That was over a year ago.
Well, that was distracting.
And you just do it, you never ask permission, and nobody gave you any grief.
Me? Because I'm on audio part. I'm not on their network. I don't go on the KU. She came here and she knew about my show and she put it up on the schedule. So she just put personal knowledge of your show and my show.
Okay,
so that's like networking more than
network. But I could. There's nobody from stopping me from putting
BNB
generic up on audio port.
Yeah, no. I would just start clicking the get away from just knowing my own work wrong.
Yeah, no. I just was doing that because I thought I had to.
No. That's like a private thing.
There may be at music licensing issues that she was referring to. I don't know.
I don't.
At one time, at a conference probably a couple years ago, we were told that the DMCA technically wouldn't allow us sharing music on a private thing like AudioPort. Apparently, that's changed there.
I never even heard that.
So for people for whom this is new, DMC, Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And it was aimed partly at Napster and similar places that were file sharing, so people would pirate music and then put it out for people to just download and share. And that Napster and similar things put a real dent in record companies' revenues, and they hurt individual artists. So the way they try to sell this is that we're protecting the artists, we're protecting the people that write and play the music. So that makes sense for Prince or Stevie Wonder or Def Leppard or whoever the people are now, the individual artists. But for the Czech Philharmonic Chamber Orchestra, I'm pretty damn sure that an American record company is not looking to get, revenue for those people and paying them a royalty fee, etc.
Shostakovich, I saw you were using.
Yeah, Shostakovich, it's a dead composer. They're going to really write a check for Bach. So it's bullshit. And part of it, it's not totally bullshit because there was some legitimate stuff behind it, like most legislation, somebody managed to manipulate it for personal profit. So they're individual, I believe, record companies that claim they have copyright to anything that you're going to stream over the internet. If the station is only broadcasting, that's not an issue. Yes. But if you are streaming over the internet, the rules are that you cannot play more than two tracks in a row off a single CD or record.
It's two in a row.
You can play no more than three
total.
Okay.
Out of two hours.
Three-hour period.
Okay.
And no more than four from the same artist or four from the same compilation also in a three-hour period.
So you can't do a retrospective of a particular artist. Anymore.
Well, that's the thing
that's
that we've
that's the, in theory, the it doesn't seem to be enforced.
No, because like what we've done, I don't know if we brought up another workshop for people here are at, we have done really well in transforming, a marathon into a theme-oriented group of special programming devoted to single artists or a group of artists. And if you're going to do a day about Keith Richards, you're going to do it all his Rolling Stones and all the material you can get. So within 20 minutes, you're done with that role. And you know, we're streaming, and we get revenue from that stream. You know, like we have from, which is what the future is for almost all community radio. Is now our listeners move to various places, and they immediately start looking for this stream because they want to still be connected to what they know. And if they really like your station, that's the way you want to go. But getting back to the other thing, we talked about it. We talked about it in terms of legality and stuff, and some producers would just not want to go on the air. I mean, it's famous producer Vince Scalzo would not, even though he was working for FMU in the beginning. At this point, he was at FUV, which is a much more conservative station broadcast entity. He didn't want his. He would come on and play his own things, and he didn't want to deal with the paperwork about going on and playing stuff that people were streaming that were going to be copyright problems. But we thought that it's more important to our listeners, and it proved right to be identified as a station that would devote that much time to an issue in politics or in music, and that's what they want in a community radio station. They want something out of the ordinary. They want to hear a deep track situation, to use commercial FM jargon. They want to be able to hear that Grateful Dead concert that, you know, only fans recorded, and just hear the... And Dead shows have always been well syndicated, you know, like from the beginning. And, you know, there's... It's not like they're excluded from a BMI and ASCAP and things, but they have, there's a mindset that anything goes with them. And I heard from you that you guys are very cognizant of all these rules and are afraid to strip.
Well, our previous manager, I think he had really more had a problem with the Grateful Dead than anybody.
Yeah, but the management team knew about it. Well, that's the problem. You know, the artists, if there's money being made, they're going to start thinking, well, we need it at some of that.
Right. Well, what he did was he contacted Rhino Records, who owned their catalog at the time, and I think still does. And rather than say, hey, we're a lowly community radio station, can you give us permission to stream this? He said, we're a community radio station. This program really doesn't meet our mission, but it's a good revenue stream for us. So how much would you like to charge us for streaming it? And so they said, I wish I would have brought the email. I still saved it. But their response was, wow, nobody's ever asked us this before. But since you brought it up, how about, I forget whether it was 10% or 20% of what you make during the fund drive. So our manager said, okay, fair enough, but don't you want to charge us a minimum?
Oh, God.
In other words, if we don't make money during the fund drive, you don't want to be shut out, do you? So, I mean, really, like, who is this guy? This guy, by the way, that I'm talking about, I bet some people in the room know the name, Richard Perotsky, who up until about a couple weeks ago was the interim manager at KPFA and... by the way, KPFA is David Ganza's station, the host, the producer of the Grateful Dead album.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what he did, whether he killed the stream
on purpose
on KPFA or not.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Well, that's it.
I mean, we decided
to shut off the stream for those 2 hours.
Right, and then
go ahead.
Well, it's just like on a line that the Children of the Dead, and now I'm running this Vibe Festival, which turns up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, it had already been there a couple of years. I was on the manager, and I had just come from the Clearwater Festival, which was totally open to us broadcasting from the Rainbow Stage, and Pete would be there with us and all this stuff. And then a manager comes in, not Rick, but somebody else, of the Clearwater, and starts saying, well, you can't broadcast this and that. And I was just, and one of the reasons I decided to jump from BAI back to my college station was because let's go and fix something rather than fight with these dudes. Here I am. Here comes the Vox Festival, and I say, we cover it. We do 4 days of it there, and our internet stream goes from a pretty robust whatever the amount is to this, because it's going all over the country. Everybody's driving, either driving to the Vibes or they're driving away. And we also were covering the Falcon Festival folk thing at the same time. And we're driving up there, and here comes somebody saying, hey, I was just listening to you guys, and you're doing the Vibe. How can you be up here? I said, well, that's a stream. But it was like immediately they started cutting off things. So right, they're running it this year. I'm no longer there, but they're running it with broadcasting live from whatever stage that they're, and the artists and all stuff. But our stream is the regular programming. The regular programming is the coming in or tapes are running. So that's how it's generated. Like anything festival oriented now is hard to stream because the artists, you have to get clearance from all these different people because of all these rules that have been imposed as internet radio has grown and become much more powerful force. So it's an indicator on a positive side of how people get their information out, but it's also showing corporations and artists, management more than artists, this is a revenue source that we have to protect. And the idea that a community radio station is going to prevent people from coming to a festival is one of the arguments, and that's absurd. I mean, you want to go someplace, you're wanting to see these bands and go from stage to stage. So it's like, but I it's an interesting thing. It's always the dead are some always involved in this because they are the champions of the festival. I don't know how. I didn't want to hit that right then. I don't want to hit that at all.
That woke me up. Was that being streamed right then?
Yeah, that was it. That was the censoring.
Does this apply if you're not streaming?
No.
This is just for streaming.
Like because, most of the Pacifica stations on broadcast are covered under what's the NPR?
Right,
it's a blanket. It's a blanket thing.
Right. FCB,
so to put it in English for the people for whom this is not. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Streaming is where you're putting it out over the internet.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to broadcast. Yeah. Most of these rules apply only to streaming. If you are affiliated with Pacifica and or NPR or certain other organizations for a nominal fee, and I think it's a couple hundred bucks,
right,
you are covered under their umbrella arrangement with the big record companies, and so for routine stuff, you just don't have to worry about it. Okay. What you do have to do, and a lot of people don't do a good job of this, is you have to keep records of what you play. That means you have to produce playlists of what produce, and often your volunteer DJs are not very good about doing that. And I know it's a problem because when I started, no disrespect to anybody at KOHI, I started providing them playlists. Somebody said, what do I need that for?
Yeah. It's important in other ways, not only for legal reasons, but for future. If you're in a car, you get anything after 2009, when you look at almost any radio station or satellite broadcaster, here comes the scroll of what that song is. The artist, you know, as much information as somebody's put into the data.
That's the metadata I was talking about.
Okay. And that's important to a small grassroots station as well, because in the end, it's all going to be digital. Or even if it's not, it goes through that cable as such. And if we want to reach the majority of people listening now to music, they're going to be listening on their phone, and they're going to want to know what it is. And
so
metadata tells them that.
What metadata is stuff that's attached to the file that you don't otherwise see, but there's a way to manipulate it. Okay. And in the session I did before on audio editing, there's a way you enter metadata and attach it to the file. So when you create the MP3 file in the first place, it has metadata attached to it. And then the player, when I've got my USB port, my US flash drive plugged into my USB port, I'm just playing my own music. It gives me metadata that says I'm playing Baroque and Beyond, KHOI, 2014, 0615. And that it says that this is that show, and it tells me the date, and there's other data that more sophisticated programs will actually use. And when people are listening to it on their iPhone or other things, like he's talking about, the user, the listener, is looking at that to figure out what it is that they're hearing.
And it says unknown artists.
Yeah.
Well, it could. It turns out like you're playing vinyl, but what happens with like a program like mine, and I have to do my copyright confessor, which is something, one of the programs we use in BAI to tell people what's been played as you're going along, is that when I'm entering into my computer or on my laptop, there's no way around it. You have to type in what you're recording.
Hmm.
So at that point, if you put in the artist, that's not even meta, that's data on it. It's metadata. But then that's there. So all you have to do then is funnel that into the thing.
How are people dealing with with that requirement? You know,
it depends on what they do. I mean, a lot of people just phone it in on everything, so they won't enter it, and they don't care about it.
We're using this radio activity service that where we log in our shows. Mm-hmm. How are other stations doing?
But,
that?
But the thing is, what happens is that the artists and the record companies see that information. So then all of a sudden they're more friendly to you in other ways.
I'm wondering who's monitoring all this too.
So there are programs, bots, that go out there and search streaming, and they can listen. The program listens to your stream, and it will recognize words if people give names. But sometimes it will just flat out recognize the songs. So for small stations, it's probably not a big deal. But for bigger stations like Mega Station Los Angeles, I'm making one up.
Right.
If they're streaming, the companies, record companies, have software that's listening to their stream and said, you're not paying us for this.
Right.
And they're going to go after them.
It's not just a recording requirement. There is a reporting requirement, and that involves some like a 2-week period, something like that, where you have to turn in all your logs. So that's why ultimately it matters. It's not just something to be filed away.
Okay.
Yeah, the FCC requires you to turn in logs.
It's not through FCC, but yeah, for streaming. I think it's all through Sound Exchange ultimately, which is kind of this weird public-private thing. But it's actually by virtue of it's the legal authority is this DMCA, and it's through that it's and Library, I guess technically a Library of Congress. Going back to this requirement for not playing very many songs. You can't play whole albums or even three consecutive tracks from the same album. The logic in the DMCA for that is to make it difficult for people to pirate music off of streams because they don't know what's coming up next.
Okay.
A real gray area which I've been meaning to try to figure out for good is how does this affect streaming classical music? Because the interpretation that Sound Exchange uses is a song is a track, which screws over anyone wanting to play a symphony with three or more movements.
And tracks.
Yeah. Just what is a track? Well, for your show, it's like what is a track? You're mixing everything together.
But they don't know.
What I need to do is just contact the classical music NPR stations. Okay, how do you do this? I don't think they are doing alternate programming when they play a whole Beethoven symphony. I think they're still playing and they're not worrying about it. I've found news articles back from when Sound Exchange announced that a song is a track, saying that classical music stations are worried, but I never found any follow-up from that.
That a track was a symphony or a concerto, a particular individual musical, but I don't know that's ever been tested in court.
Right, now, Yeah.
Now, my question to you is, if I give you guys, here's show 99 hour 2,
mm-hmm.
Who's liable? It's my show.
If they make the announcement, they can make it you liable. Depends what the station's policy is.
Like you or me. So what I used to do, literally what I was doing for a while, is producing for two stations. And initially, KHOI was doing 2 hours and KPVL was only doing one. So I was actually doing 3 separate hours. I said, okay, this is driving me crazy. I don't have time to do that. So I was doing the first hour for both stations, and then the second hour only KHOI would get, okay? Well, then the problem is trying to live with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. What I was doing is I was playing 2 movements of the symphony in the first hour and the 3rd movement in the next hour. and I said, okay, now I've just shafted the people that are only listening to 1 hour. At first, though, it doesn't really get me through the rules because I'm playing 3 tracks.
It's not worth it. Yeah, this is something which doesn't... this requirement is something that doesn't seem to be enforced.
Except in the cases of
people streaming live concerts or streaming whole albums or...
Right.
So I quit worrying about it and I just play a whole concerto or a whole symphony. So fair warning, if you ever play my show,
I know just by listening to classical stations, when the metadata shows up in their stream, it's frequently they just have if it's the same that a metadata that they're turning in with the report, that the whole symphony will appear as a single track because they're not changing it when we go from movement to movement.
It's the same. Why not record it as one MP3?
Well, it could say Allegro. The way.
Right, but so yeah, this is a weird.
It's a weird. Problem.
It's a weird problem.
If you play my classical music show, you're less likely to get tapped for that than you are. You still could be, but you're less likely.
And your comments about well, Beethoven isn't going to sue. There's still unless it's a actual fully public domain recording, which there really are very few out there, and you wouldn't want to play them anyway because they're on wax cylinders or whatever. You've still got a relatively contemporary ensemble performing it who still has a record label
it's a legal department.
But here's the crazy logic of it. So I play music that was produced by a musical heritage society. They folded it in 2010. They don't even exist anymore.
Right.
Okay. So, who's going to... Some DMCA slime ball could theoretically sue, but there's nobody they're going to give the money to.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't have standing to sue.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But,
Let's go back to the...
music.
The music. We started this off by talking about AudioPort, and I'm going to play you, I hope. I don't know if this is the right thing. It's just how I... After I pull off the WBAI favorite stuff, which is some, I just look at the amount of time, and then I just back announced and said, this is WBAI, and also on, and I just said the stations once, and I alerted the program directors I knew, or the people who were downloading it. I just said this in the middle of the show, so if you want to go in there and cut it, and WAZU and Peoria did it, and a few others. And then I ones that didn't respond. I just went to their stations on TuneIn or one of those kind of things and just take the DJ at the time and then I put them together and I think this is it. So I come back to my house, I leave in the stuff I do before the music starts that's not related to B, even though sometimes I think on this one I did. I stick this on the top and I actually still have to add KHOI and Ursula sent me a personal one, but come on, be this one.
We can get your whole station ID folder.
Yeah, well, that's what I want.
Yeah.
What does it cost to get on AudioPort?
Free.
It's free if you were like a member, you have a program on.
Yeah, you, you're entitled to, we use it all the time.
Yeah.
So you're entitled.
There's some intricacy, there may be some other things involved with that. But
all right, this is the EPOP.
I suppose we just don't talk about it anymore.
I'm on 90.7. This is Peoria Underground Radio, you dig?
This is WBAI.
This is North Country Public Radio.
What is your name, dude? Doom Ranch?
WERU 89.9.
You're at 102.7 on your FM dial.
What'd you say if I wanted to take my mother along?
Randy Radio, KP88.
What's this make-believe ballroom? How many times are you going to change the station?
Exactly 1 minute, the broadcasting channels of the entire world will be cleared. In every continent, in every land, in different times, in different places, but at the same moment, every place. Men and women and children, you ready now to listen to the same voice?
Summer is a happy time. The days are full of fun. The trees are full of lazy leaves. The sky is full of sun. Summer is a happy time. We love the sun a lot. But getting cool is happy too. When summer gets too hot.
Now if you're gonna stay cool, you got to wail. You got to put something down. You got to make some jive. Don't you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Summer means many different things to different people. To some, it might mean the thrill of a high-speed catamaran. Others like to float around and soak up a few stray rays. Still others like some kind of inland activity.
This
motorcycle is this?
It's a chopper, baby.
Brand new radio. The only thing that sounds better than the engine is the radio.
It'd be perfect as Jesus.
What are you talking about? Man, I had the devil in this. I didn't have a this wrist.
And you will know my name is the Lord.
Mixed up with Peter Bolshoi.
He's always been king of his world, but we'll teach him fear.
Here on WBAI.
Why, in a few months, it'll be up in lights on Broadway.
All mixed up with Peter Bolshoi.
Left the light up because sometimes it just turns off. Well, now I'm gonna have to load it and I'll jump to that spot. But anyway, that's a classic BAI thing. I just put it in because it was beginning of July and it was summertime. But it'll go classical right after this, believe it or not. I'll show you.
So your whole show basically is like that?
No, it's just the opening. I front load a lot of power. I mean, because you never know what's going to be on before you.
Right.
And especially when I'm going all over the country, so you do this. But usually I won't have that particular one. I just wanted to give people a chance. That's like I've been retired from my stable of things I play.
There were a few specific things I...
Sound plug. Keep going. Can I have the sound plug for
that? Let me finish. It's okay. Just a few more seconds.
All right. That's cool.
It's not even the right one. I'm sorry. You want to play something?
Yeah, in a minute. I'll take the plug. Once you hand me the plug, I'll plug it in and I'll find it. I got it.
It's a quick question. I just thought of something. What about audio from games? Does that apply to the DMCA?
Does audio part?
When you're using games, I mean, some audio put behind something from a game.
Music from a video game.
Yeah, that would apply too, I would imagine.
Yeah. But what if you're doing in such short things like I just
Yeah, said? short stuff. It's
what's short, like 15 seconds, a minute?
Yeah, I don't know enough about how that affects for like news shows or whatnot. I know just from my non-radio music stuff, I know there's legality regarding length of samples and things which apply more to artists who create stuff with samples. I don't know exactly.
I think if you were pirating music off other artists and packaging and selling it, you'd be in deep shit, even for small samples. If you're producing a show where you're playing little like sound tidbits for the whole lot of things, nobody's going to bother you.
Well, yeah. I can say that nobody's bothering
you. Now, if you have
years.
Like a full song played as the theme song for your show, you might want to clear that with that artist.
Right.
Yeah, if you're playing full songs. Yeah.
Summer means many different things.
I just want to see. I've opened it up wider so I don't have to.
If you're sampling it, you know, if it's under a certain amount of seconds, you don't have to have the permission because you're just sampling a couple of seconds.
Well, that's my
imagine the work if you're doing it. Like, if I was trying to write down every single thing, but by the time it came across your screen, wanted something else.
Okay,
you know,
I got.
So it's like you heard three or four things.
So they basically don't really have time to be like, oh, that was ours. Well, maybe it was.
Yeah, well, they don't.
Okay.
You know, there's no way even to prosecute.
Okay.
It'd be perfect as Jesus.
What are you talking about? Man, I had the devil in this. I didn't have a this Christian.
And you will know my name is the Lord.
You love that one.
He's always been king of his world, but we'll teach him fear.
Here on WBAI.
Why, in a few months, it'll be up in lights on Broadway.
All mixed up with Peter Bolshoi.
The wonder of the world.
Yeah.
absolute paradise of music, art, and pure enjoyment.
Here on WBAI.
James will be there.
I mean,
and Mario. Only they'll be saints.
So now we went to Klontia. It slowed down at the end, so I know I can go into something sweet. And this is like, you've heard this Michael Red Hot Bach.
It's like her voice allowed you to go somewhere.
Yeah, well, I know it's not the end of it. Otherwise, I have like Buffalo 66. I have Christina Reed, James, and they like saying, are you ready? We're going to start a minute. Are you ready? It's going to start a minute. The mirror is going to be a mirror. It's going to start. Are you ready? A little bang. It's open. Quiet. Because I think I realized it's a Broadway thing.
And you just have these archives so that you can.
Well, I mix them in them, but made a new one that I was bigger, then I changed that one. And my, what happens is you lose your computer. Like when I had a severe fatal crash on whatever computer I was using with my main files on it, and that was all on that disk, I can't go back and put together a multi-track, so I have to go in and do it a hard way. But so I have the current multi-track versions of whatever I'm doing that I want to replay, and you can go in and modify.
Mm-hmm. How much do you modify, say, there's a
well, I just, the thing I played in the other thing where I used to have this thing where are you, Peter? Oh, you're on Saturdays, and, you know, that's the time, oh, that's time, almost time for our favorite program. So I had a specific time in there, and I still liked everything else, so I pulled out any reference to Saturday, and when they say, where's everybody going, which, like, it was the frame, mm-hmm. I have Bill Murray coming in from Groundhog, he's saying that, and then they say, all mixed up. With Peter Boucher, and then he said, "Is that still only on once a year, isn't it?" So then it cuts away with time and place.
Okay.
So a really sophisticated producer can produce a lot of complex, really fascinating stuff. Mine and a lot of stuff like your DJs, you're just coming in and playing songs and talking about them.
Beyond, this is show 45. We're going to start this hour with Franz Josef Haydn Symphony No. 99, performed by the Stuttgart Chamber Orchestra with Dennis Russell Davies conducting.
But that works for what you do.
So my stuff, he's got a studio, and I'm just sitting at a desk in my study where I got all my medical books and everything else, and I'm arranging the microphone so I'm not getting a lot of background stuff, and I'm just producing on a computer. What I'm going at with this is that some people's work requires a full studio. Other people are just literally sitting down at their home computer, their home laptop with a microphone, and that's going to affect a lot the quality of what you get. And so learning to understand who your volunteer DJs are and what they do and what they know and how careful they're paying attention to their files can be really important. Talking with the people from WDRT, they were talking about the fact that people weren't paying attention when they were setting up their mixes in terms of the gap between them. I'm tired of these 30-second silences on the air. 30 seconds is a long time on radio.
Yeah, it is.
And in the last year and a half, I've had one where I thought I had lined all the tracks up correctly. I went back and found it. There was a 35-second gap where I hadn't moved something correctly.
So basically, if you don't have a studio you set up right now, the way you're doing it until the studio gets set up works too.
Right. And actually...
And you saw how I do it, because that's the demonstration.
Okay. Okay. So as I understand, everything Peter does these days is done on the computer, so it could be done.
What I do is I try to make sure that I'm covered for the first few minutes. But what Michael just said was something interesting, because silence is important. I mean, it's one of the things that community radio can bring back. It's like the home-spun broadcast that you're listening to your room. Like I've been talking... And I probably will end in a planetary thing tonight, is what's attracting new listeners. And I'm talking about people who haven't been listening to radio because it sounded too slick. There's no room for silent kind of radio. It has no place in anything but, you know, a corporate room, because you're just being bombarded. And the sound itself, all the pop songs that people look at that's the music of today, and it's so plastic. It's compressed and pushed to such a degree that if you look at the sound wave,
it's just one big block until you pull it out. Even then, the top's lopped off of everything, and the bottom is just like a solid wall of sound. And that's how your ears are bombarded. So when you listen to that and it's compressed and they put echo on it, it's the antithesis of what radio was meant to do, which was enter your home, take you to an experience that this DJ or this composer, and it really, like, to say yes to what he said, it doesn't matter about the quality, the professionalism matters somewhat, but what people are looking for is somebody with knowledge of the material. That's why a show becomes successful. But to talk to the silence, a friend of mine who just died, Steve Post and Bob Fast, used to come on the air and just pause for a moment, and like we're talking a minute of for a moment, and then say something. So you're like, you know your radio's on, but all of a sudden, it's like I just did. I'm just thinking now, what am I going to do? What would
I
say?
If you look at successful politicians, including our president, the pauses are what set them apart.
Right.
Sometimes they pause so much, it drives me crazy! But accomplished speakers know how
and where
and when and where. And sometimes you get more attention by speaking softer. All of that goes into successful radio stations, and I agree with what he says violently agree with him about the silence and the difference in the quality of what you produce is what's going to make you be a successful station.
And also, like, you can do stuff like what's coming, and by the time some of you get your permits to the broadcast stage, there's going to be, if you look at a BSW catalog, and you should all just get them, they're free, and they have all levels of price points.
BSW is an equipment company.
And it comes out of Seattle.
Bravo Sierra Whiskey. BSW is a radio supply equipment. That's where I got my turntable and a number of other things. And you can get things, they have sales, and you get things at all levels of price. BSW.
And that they have a website that you
can
order from?
Yeah, as well. Yeah, you can go online and download it, and they'll set up. You give me your address and the catalog's a paper thing. I like the paper because when I'm buying stuff, I go online. But I'm looking and I'm thinking, well, maybe I could use this. But what was I going to say? Oh, I know. So it's like the boards. And they have boards that are down in the hundreds of dollars, which you can afford for an independent producer can put into your budget for putting together your studio. That, like right now, they're in the more the $1,000 station startup modules, which is Bluetooth. Bluetooth on a telephone, a fader dedicated to telephone. That opens up a world to you. You've already bought a microphone like Michael has. It's plugged into your mixer, and now you can take your cell phone, and they also have cell phones that are mixers now. And, of course...
Oh, wow.
But here's what you do. You call up your guest, and you're talking through your microphone. He's talking maybe, hopefully, through a microphone, but at least through a phone, and now you bring it up in your fader, and now you are, for all intents and purposes, a radio station that can take call-ins or have new guests, and you can do that. And that's coming. By the time, within 5 years, it's going to be standard on any mixing board you buy, no matter what the price point is. I mean, Bluetooth is here.
Yes.
And I can't go for the quality, but every car has it. You can be calling people all around the world. It's, you know, they use it for safety, but that's a very important thing for me. I'm like, I just bought a board a while ago from them, and it can't justify, so I'm looking for a little outboard thing that's going to do that for me. I'm just going to be able to plug it in and start calling people because I'm happy. Because I've been alluding to, BAI has lost the capability of studios, but I can at least look at authors I know and musicians and talk about what's happening immediately, you know, and have it in the mix because it's important. And people really feel good. And then you can also, if you're live in this situation, you can give out that number. Have a dedicated number to that particular thing.
So we're getting off into fairly technical stuff, which could be a little confusing.
That's technical, but I would argue that the sound quality diminishes over wireless phones.
But way better than. But much better. I mean, that's all most people have now.
I know, but
so
I mean,
you're looking at it's not going to come back. You're not going to get people on landline. So that's an idea I can't even go with.
No, where I'm going at is, these guys are starting from scratch.
Right.
Right.
What else would you guys like to know?
What are your questions?
Yeah. And I.
Well, you asked them.
Yeah. Okay, there were some. Okay. I never really got in my introduction, but there were some things relating to just how do I do my music shows that I wanted to talk about. Yeah. Okay, I'm Paul Hertz. I have two music shows on KHOI, a classical music show and a local music show that plays music of any genre from Iowa. I've been doing the local music show for about 6 months and the classical one for about a year and a half. And for the classical music show, when I do it live, I take requests, and here's how I fulfill the requests legally without spending tons of money to have a massive classical library. Mm-hmm. I will fulfill the requests if I can find them on a legal download service and download them during my show. I'm willing to spend a certain amount of my own money doing that. I don't get now if I get a whole hour's worth of requests, I might start to change my policy on that, but I don't have okay. right now I'm not getting that many requests. So that's the that's a way to leverage neurotechnology too. And just in general for you don't if you have the legal downloads available quickly, then you can do all sorts of interesting things without having to have your big station library.
Can I ask you a question? Because like, I've seen this happen at stations I've been at. Is people play stuff off what now is the most popular channel for music, YouTube.
Right.
So you're doing a show just like you always did, and you think of a song and you didn't bring it, or you don't have it at the station. So you go to your computer, there it is, and they start playing. And then I've had the same person play something without knowing how it's going to be, and there's obscenity in it, which is the problem if you haven't checked something. But I've used it. I mean, YouTube has really quality.
Right. Stuff. That is, for the
depends
for
on
the classical music, it's not an issue.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
But
I tell you, there are classical and classic, you know, old time recordings. And interviews with people from, you know...
I'm just playing the music, not the...
Right, but you can hear. You can go and hear every Leonard Bernstein... to children.
I technically, obviously, I could do YouTube. I could just play straight from Spotify. I don't because that's crossing a legal line personally for me.
Right,
If it was like, okay, I already... If it felt like an emergency situation, okay, I already own this... I can't find a legal download of this, but I know it's on YouTube. Then I don't know. Maybe I'd do it. But that
you think crossing the medium is illegal?
Well, yeah, that's because it'd be like for Spotify in particular, it'd be like playing another radio station's stream. Just
right.
Yeah,
just get something.
Right. Yeah. Then for my local music show, how do I get the music? I play in various bands. I go to a lot of shows, so I know people that way. But I go to Bandcamp, bandcamp.com, and you can search it, the different artists on there, anything you want. It's different band, each album can be tagged in different ways. So if you do bandcamp.com/tag/whatever tag you're looking for, then you can find albums there. You can sort them either by popularity or most recent. I usually go to bandcamp.com/tag/Iowa. And I did a show recently where I did 27 new releases from Iowa released in the month of July.
Wow!
Like 7 of those I had heard of before.
Wow!
So it takes a lot of time going through, listening to it, figuring out throwing out the stuff with bad production or you just can't stand or can't play on the radio. But it produces way larger variety than what anyone else is playing probably.
Do you also have a personal stake in if you like it or not? Or you even if you don't like it.
I'm not trying to have it be a total random grab bag show. I'm like it is a multi-genre show, but I try to have some cohesion within each set, and then I set the stage for my massive genre jumps with my narration.
You started out by saying you play in bands. Do you ever play your own music?
Yes, I do. Not regularly, but yeah, I do.
Have you had the bands up live?
Yeah, we've done.
Yeah, that's what I know. I don't think we'd allow that on. We don't allow that on our station to play.
For a DJ to play their own.
Yeah.
Well, if they're not making money on it, though.
But it's promotion. One of the things that you're not allowed to do on non-commercial stations is you're not, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, somebody who knows more about this than I do, I think you're not allowed to promote stuff. Is that the case?
Well, there's the use of promotional language versus
You're having authors on, they're promoting stuff all the time.
Promoting themselves. You can't promote them, and informational language is different from promotional language. If I'm giving a list of upcoming concerts, that's informational. The rule which I understand, and this seems really arbitrary, but this is the way we're doing it, is you can't say what the price is, even if it's free. And you certainly can't say, go to this show.
Right.
Free is a big no-no.
Yeah.
You can say no tickets needed.
That's
one of the things.
So what's a big no-no? Free is a big no-no?
Free is a big no-no.
Free or the actual dollar price.
Dollar prices are a big no-no. Free is a big no-no.
Unless it's about your own nonprofit.
Unless it's about our own KHOI. We can promote KHOI till the cows come home.
So here's an example of how I screwed up.
Free is a no-no. You can say no tickets needed. Everyone is welcome.
But you can also direct people.
I got a question. Okay.
But I mean, this is for other organizations.
Right. That's 513C.
Okay. So our organization, of course, we're doing some fundraising to get for our equipment for our studio. So we're having it's a chicken and spaghetti fundraiser dinner. Yeah. So can we sit there and say, well, you know, come out and join us and help us to get this
you
together.
Can do that till the cows come home. You can
but
tell
as long
them.
As we don't say, well, come out and
no,
join
no,
us.
No, no, no.
You can
no,
say
it's
you
for
can,
your own event.
It's
so
only
you can
say
whatever
you
want.
You can
money.
Say anything you want.
Other
you can
people's
say
events where it's a problem.
For fundraising.
Yes, you can
fund.
Say for your own, for your organization,
right.
You
but
can fundraise.
Still a no-no.
Right. So even for our own organization, we still can't say, well, the dinners are $10.
Yeah.
You can promote for your own
Right. For other organizations, say you are helping some organization that's helping the homeless.
Okay.
You cannot mention any cost for them. You can say, like, if you can't say it's free, you can say there's no tickets needed, everyone is welcome.
Okay.
If there are tickets involved and people have to purchase those, you say, for more information, contact this organization, look at their website, look at this. You must contact them to find out about that information. You can't say tickets are needed. You just tell them this is we are.
So
you know,
I said
that's
some,
a way
I said
of
we're air and got my wrist.
Yeah.
Sorry,
well,
guys,
there's a lot of
but
there's
a lot
of
details in it,
yeah.
And
yeah.
that
yeah.
actually can be discussed. Looking ahead for community radio facilitating stuff at 5:15.
Right.
So there, we can bring that.
So,
we can bring that.
So yeah, I play. Sorry,
but you can play yourself.
Yeah, I can play myself, and I mentioned that it is my own. And but I don't make a habit of it.
So I got my wrist slapped. We had a artist who came and sang with the La Crosse Symphony Orchestra. It's a Induce Jubilate. It's an aria piece by Mozart. I don't like opera, but there's a few pieces that just water my eyes. So I play little snippets here and there. And I played this one piece, and I said it was performed by this young artist, so and so forth. I said, I encourage you to go hear this person because she was amazing.
No,
that's
no.
A no-no. Can't say that.
Because it's like
that's
promoting
it,
her, right?
You cannot promote other. I've done that too, and I've been warned about that. You cannot be an advocate for somebody else. You cannot say, go out and do that. That's a call to action. It's a
call to
action.
I know.
Call to actions are no-nos in community radio.
Okay.
Big no-nos. Big red flag. It's like you want to put a big slash through it in a circle.
Okay.
Call to action. You can call to action for your own station.
Right.
You can go, love us, send money, protect us from corporate America.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah. But you cannot do a call to action for anything, whether it be political, anybody else's fundraiser,
that's
blah, blah, blah.
So let me tell you,
let's put a button on this.
Okay.
Okay.
We all do.
Let's put up. Okay. I mean, I thought we were going to talk more about music, but I was station manager for 3 years, and I did start a program.
He knows more than I do.
And the program is called Nonprofit. I didn't actually start it, I just revived it. Nonprofit Announcements, which means other 501c's can buy time on your station, promote their events. And it's totally legal, and it didn't generate as much as Cars for Kids, kind of the key we have on the bottom of our website. That made more money for the station. But we did that, and you also can work into underwriting, which is, you know...
Underwriting is very good. But how did you do that?
Underwriting is having... the best example of underwriting station, you can go to their website, is WERU in Blue Hill, Maine. They have a community of sponsorship of about 600 individuals, and they also have by working with the community and talking to their listeners, they promote events all through their town and in the bigger city next door, Bangor, and they have I think 6 full-time employees and maybe 8 part-time employees. They all work together. And my sister lives up there, and she's always sent me their folios and stuff. So you see the ads that are bought. They've been able to maintain a folio when most stations have no way of doing that. But when we started doing underwriting, I immediately called up their general manager, and he walked me through it. And there's legal language, like you say. You can't, but you certainly can give. What you do is you...
Can I interrupt and translate? If you listen to National Public Radio, you will hear periodically... Today's program is underwritten in part by a generous contribution from Dr. Michael White.
Right.
Got it.
So,
he must have saw the confused look on my face.
And sometimes what that really amounts to is an ad, because it's underwritten in part by Joe Bob's teeth repairing place where dental care is... What we do.
Right.
Okay. And what they're really doing is buying that on your thing.
But there's restrictions. You can't say we're the best teeth replacement place in town. You can't give the price.
There's a lot of restrictions. But
you can't say go there.
But it works a couple of ways. It does make it commercial, but if you're really tied to what you allow on your air and the people you associate with, it can be very valuable. It's also a way of tying you to that community in a way that you can't just with normal fundraising. What you're doing is, with underwriting and with NPAs, as I call them, you're reducing the amount of time you're on the air asking for money. Mm-hmm. And you try to change that. It's when I was talking earlier about the themes when it comes into playing an artist instead of, or something about a day where there's, you know, all women or all, you know, whatever the theme is. Those are things that reduce the time of just, please give us some money. Which is what is hard to maintain, to get your budget, whatever it may be, to continue to broadcast, because everyone winds up having to pay for the tower, at least that you're broadcasting from, and for the electricity, all that stuff. Those people, you can work with them, but the phone lines and all the stuff have to be paid. So you have to maintain something beyond, you know, goodwill. You have to make the money. But that really works, and we've worked at the language. And there's always people who are not going to want to do it because, our listeners, we said we're never going to take any corporate money. We don't take anything from CPB. We're totally independent. We're the only independent. And everybody comes on with this, but it's not, you can't be independent. You have to work with at least your community and your listeners. And there's different ways of doing it. You're trying to find a way to fulfill your mission with entertainment, and the other side of all of this, the picture that we all face, is the crowded media frontier that we are part of now. Rather than just being the only AM radio station, and there was 3 or 4 television stations, we have hundreds of cable stations. We have millions of people just playing games or watching streams that are controlled by mega corporations, and we have to be part of that and make sure that people can focus on where you are, and whether it's like producing really great music show or politics or having, you know, people that are shut out or have only a 5-minute interview at most on major media. You come to a community station, you can talk for a half an hour. You can this thing that David talked today, I want to have that interview and I want to clean it up and put it up on audio board. and say, let's, every station wants this, let's play it. You know, let's go, break it into bytes, whatever it is. That's something you cannot do on the other media, and that's what we must protect. But also, it's the only game in town for this kind of alternative. People talk it. They always say we're alternative, but then when it comes down to it, they don't. They're not so alternative. And that's where grassroots radio is. That's why it's so, I'm so happy to see all these permits out there and all these people trying to make new points of light. But every single one of these lights is another, it's just a spot in this giant glare of media that we're facing. So you've got to be great at what you do. You know, and the more people who come in from the outside, like Michael says, it's the hobby, but he obviously knows his stuff, and that's going to attract listeners.
Like you said, have a passion for it, right?
Right.
KHY has a thing about where we're trying to get 500 families to contribute. And if you figure out your operating budget, and then you figure out how many people in the listening area you have, and then you can kind of go back from there, how many people would want to listen to us, and how much money can we get from them? And just try to, you know, think about it. That's a way to think about it. It's not the way.
500 families at $250.
Yes, at $250.
And you're going to write to them?
Huh?
You're going to write. It's going to be.
That's the goal. Direct. We haven't gotten 500.
Because that costs money, too.
Yeah.
But that's a great other feature.
But that's one of the goals at KHY.
Because our range is like 7,000 people.
How far our tower can reach.
We can reach like 7,000 people right now.
Yeah. Can I ask a follow-up question to you? You talked about playing a lot of requests.
Yeah.
I understand that might be problematic with the DMCA.
Okay, so yes, it's...
I always use the word suggestions.
Right. I certainly can't say, send me... this is different from requests, but you can't say, send me your music, I'll play it on the air. That's one thing you can't say. I haven't looked at the language for this in a little while. I don't remember exactly, but there is... There's something about you can't have too much... You can't have too much programming devoted to requests, and I really don't remember how that works. I thought
it was something like you. I mean, if someone says, "Hey, can you play?" I don't know. Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles, and all right, I'll try and get that on for you next week. As long as you don't say, "All right, I'll play that at 1 o'clock." Or give it time.
Okay, right. That's the thing with the streaming. You, at least with the streaming, I don't know exactly whether any of this applies to the open.
I don't think it does.
Okay,
with
streaming, again, the restrictions on number of tracks from the same artist or same album, it's to make it hard for people to pirate it. So you can't announce. You can say like, "Oh, I'm going to be playing such and such artist soon," but you can't say exactly what you're going to be playing unless it actually is the next song.
Yeah. The same thing.
So what about posting your playlist in advance?
No.
Same thing. Okay.
Well, say that again, because I post mine in advance.
It's from what I've read, if you're streaming, you can't post your playlist in advance. You can post it as soon as the song.
As soon as
the song is playing, and you can announce it, and you can announce a song right before it plays.
What if you put your playlist on the exact time that the show is going on?
That's what people.
If you want to stay strictly within the letter of what I've read. It would be if each entry appears when each song is playing, which if you have it set up so the metadata is showing up in the stream,
yeah,
it will work that way.
Yeah.
Now if it's an hour long show and you post your hour long show playlist at the beginning of the show,
it's not legal.
Now if it's all afternoon's work, maybe people will care more.
Ultimate irony. I was talking to somebody that was streaming. And they said a really good day is when we got 50 people at once.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Whereas broadcasting, you have how many hundreds or sometimes thousands?
Right.
But they're paying attention to the 50 or the 5.
Well, that's because you can see them.
Right.
I understand. But that's the irony of this whole thing.
Right.
Well, it's not 50 at once, but that's like if you counted up the number of unique computers accessing your stream throughout the day, it'd be way more than 50.
Right.
So that's like saying 50 people listening to your station 24/7, and that doesn't happen for over the air either.
No, but yeah. Simultaneously,
yeah,
you know,
current,
cool.
Yeah.
So, but do people look at things on the internet, even if you are only streaming? The answer is yes, and it builds over time. So again, personal experience. What I was doing, because I originally signed up to do a radio show in Viroco, which is close to where I live, I told everybody I was doing the show. It turned out they didn't do it, but they gave me away to KPVL in Postville. And I'm way too far. Nobody that knows that I'm doing a show can listen to that. They're too far away.
Right.
And that led to KHOI. So then people said, well, I want to listen to your show. How am I going to do it? So I uploaded things to YouSendIt or Dropbox. And then I had this email that I sent out once a week to all the people that wanted my show. And then one day the email didn't work and somebody got mad at me because I didn't include them in the list. Screw it. I created a webpage.
Okay.
And I've got a webpage, bnbradio.com, which I think I forgot to write down in your guys' things. bnbradio.com. And I post after the fact, I post my entire show and my playlist. So far this month, it's 150 megabytes per hour, roughly. Mm-hmm. So far this month, just in August, there have been 7 gigabytes of data downloaded from my webpage.
Okay. What you're doing on your personal webpage is illegal.
Okay.
Ta-da!
But the station's carrying it wouldn't be liable.
Right.
Now stations can post.
Why is it illegal?
Because it's exactly the same situation as with Napster. Except for the fact that you've rearranged the tracks into a different order.
I don't think anybody's going to care.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
That's enough.
Yeah. That.
But it's my risk, not the station's.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And stations can post archived shows for a limited time on their website.
I think we're running out of time now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah. We're already late to the next session. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah. But you guys are awesome. Group
yeah.
Clap.
Because I see NPR stations.
I'm going to give you a call.
Well, do they have it for
an hour? Maybe they're just.